Welcome to Let's Talk Community, a podcast full of interesting stories about communities and the people who build and manage them. Our aim is to give you easy to implement practical advice instead of complicated theories. I am Denise Henkel, your host for this podcast, experienced community manager and inexperienced business founder. Today's topic is about something that often gets neglected in everyday community management life: self-care. I spoke with two community managers about why this topic should have a much higher priority. This episode is full of practical advice. Enjoy!
Good morning. I am here with Serena and Jamie, and we are going to talk about self-care because there's going to be Community Manager Advancement Day on January 27th. But before we talk, I will give you a chance to quickly introduce yourselves. Maybe Serena, you want to start?
Thanks, Denise. I'm Serena Snowd. I'm the online community manager for Alzheimer's Society. We're a non-profit in the UK. My job is to oversee a peer support service for people affected by dementia.
Hi, I'm Jamie Johnston. I look after the community for Tesco Bank. And I've worked in the community sector now for getting on for a number of years. And I also organise meetups for community managers in Scotland.
Very cool. I am Denise. The last community I managed was an online dating communities. In my experience, when I was managing a community team, I oftentimes had to force my community managers to take time off and care for themselves, and which of course they didn't do. And then in the end, they had to call in sick and take time off. And then that's the point where they would realize that looking out for yourself is not a selfish act, but really everyone, and myself included, had to learn it the hard way. So today, with the two of you, I want to talk about our experiences with stress and self-care. We are going to look at what causes community professionals stress. Then we're going to look at the consequences of too much stress. And then in the end, we want to look at what can we do when we are stressed, and what can we do to prevent being stressed? So let's first touch on what are the reasons why the community job is demanding and the challenges it brings. Maybe Serena, do you want to talk about this topic for a bit? In your experience, what are the reasons for community managers being stressed?
Thanks, Denise. I think for me, there's a number of different factors that we're facing when we're running an online space, when we're dealing with user-generated content, when we're dealing with bringing people together, whether that's online or whether that's offline. And there's something about the specific role that a community manager has, where a lot of the time community management is about managing the interests and the needs of a lot of people, and also managing the interests and the needs of an organization. And so you're balancing both of those needs. And there's lots of demands, I think, broadly that can come with that work. So if you're dealing with conflict, if you're dealing with crisis management, reputational management, if you're dealing with complaints, you're dealing with lots of demands on your time, lots of demands on your energy. And then you have to kind of think about the other aspect of community around how much support or buy-in or understanding that you might have. So broadly, I think you're already looking at quite a lot of issues that might happen.
Yeah, I can see that. Like when you talked about managing the interests of people in the community and managing the interests of an organization, this has caused me so much stress, because the community thinks you're the bad guy because you stand for the company that they're upset with, and your company they might look into the community, take a look at what people are talking about, and see that people are upset and maybe even insult the company. And then, of course, it's your responsibility to deal with this, and you're like part of this problem.
Yes.
Yeah, I think you've hit the nail on the head, because you do end up in the middle. Like, I think, you know, for us with the bank, people like the idea of the community, and then once actually the conversations are kind of laid bare, they're like, oh, I don't really like the look of that. That's actually what people are saying, or that's actually how they're feeling. And as a community manager, you know, it is your role to channel what the community is saying, and try and get some traction on that with people internally. And that can be really difficult to do, but you've got all of this pressure from people within the community to see change or get a proper answer. And I certainly experienced that at the bank for quite a while, where the comms, the sort of communication strategy was definitely to not be that transparent and to give more of a kind of corporate line in response. But I knew that that was never going to sit well with anyone, and it was almost better to not give that line than to use it. So I think you can end up quite isolated and right, as you say, in the middle of quite a nasty sandwich at times.
Absolutely. If you think about the type of content you might then get on the community as well. So if you think if there's conflict between members, or if there's a conflict with the member, or if you get an issue around kind of mental health or some sort of issue, I think that's where things can get really complicated as well.
And another aspect, I think, is also variety of tasks that you have to do as a community manager and your own time management. Yeah, you have to reply to questions, you have to create content, you have to report back to your organization, you have to come up with a strategy on what to do. There's so many different tasks that need to be taken care of, and many of them you don't know how long it's going to take. Like when you receive a customer support inquiry and you open it, then you don't know that this is going to take 45 minutes to reply to.
Yes, and I think also for, you know, community managers, it's generally online, obviously. So there's a bit of, always on kind of mentality, where even though, yes, you have work hours and things, I think for a lot of community managers, it probably bleeds on into the evenings potentially as well, because you can do it from your phone. It completely depends, obviously, on your setup and things. But I think that the boundaries aren't quite as clear necessarily for people that are working in an online space like that, in an online forum kind of space. Time management, like you say, becomes quite difficult. It completely depends, obviously, on your setup within your organization. You know, do you have a big team around you? Or actually, and as we all know, traditionally, community managers are quite often a team of one or two. And yes, they have to do a lot of different things. Whereas if you've got a slightly bigger team around you, then perhaps the time management becomes a bit easier to handle. But I've definitely seen a lot of community managers who are hands-on and moderating and dealing with discussions, where it carries on. You know, it's like they're quite happy to do stuff in the evenings or the weekends, even though you're maybe saying, actually, you need to draw a line and take some time back for yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what I was referring to in the beginning when I said, you know, taking care of yourself is not a selfish act. The arguments of my employees were, well, if I take time off for myself, if I don't look after the community in the evenings, or if I don't stay longer to reply to those questions, then I'm not doing a good service to the community. But I think if you're not healthy and at the top of your game, then you're also not doing the community good service. So it really is important to look out for yourself.
I'd absolutely agree with that, Denise. I'd also add around how much duty of care you have on your community as well. So if you're working in a nonprofit, for example, like I am, you may have a duty of care towards people who are vulnerable, who may be using your community, and there's an element of that additional pressure or responsibility that can come. And actually, there's a real business impact. In fact, there's a business impact for all community managers around self-care, and there's a real business value there of taking care of yourself and remaining well. But particularly when you're dealing with emotional support, there's a real kind of tangible value of being well and being able to continue to deliver that support.
Yeah, and you know, within the UK certainly, and I'm just talking from this perspective, you know, I think mental health awareness has increased massively. You know, you've got lots of sports stars and pop stars and stuff, you know, who are talking about their own mental health challenges. So a lot more awareness. You know, we've had mental health training as an opportunity within the organization, and it's talked about a lot more. which means that people are starting to recognize the importance of looking after yourself. And then, as Serena says, you know, the impact of not looking after yourself can be massive for the individual. But then if you are a community manager, and this, you know, for us as a bank, very risk averse, very worried about someone doing or saying something, you know, in a public online space, which we, you know, regret. So if someone is not in the best mental headspace, then that's more likely to happen, right? Either you react the wrong way, or you perhaps say something you wouldn't normally say, or you're not able to handle the pressure like you normally would. So for organizations and for employers, it's in their best interest, obviously, to make sure that, that people's mental well-being is being considered, because the risks actually are quite severe for the individual, but then for the wider community if it plays out in public.
Yeah, I think we all agree on it's important to look after yourself. So let's move on to how do we even recognize that we are not being our best selves? Like doing some sort of self-assessment, figuring out whether you're stressed or not, or also knowing yourself better in terms of what causes myself stress. Let's maybe talk about that for a bit. Serena, you shared a really lovely list of stress symptoms. Well, I shouldn't call it lovely because these symptoms aren't nice. Let's talk about these different symptoms for a bit.
Thanks, Denise. Yeah, I think it's really important to recognize the difference between challenges, stress, and burnout. So as community managers, it's important to recognize the three. You're always going to have challenges as part of any job, but particularly with community management. Stress is generally the way your body and your mind is dealing with challenges, and particularly kind of heightened challenges. So that seems to be quite a lot around kind of how you deal with the competing demands on your energy, and particularly things that might be traumatic as well. Mm. And burnout, I think, is that what we tend to see when we have sustained stress or sustained kind of like poor self-management. So it can be either of those things. Mm. So thinking about stress, there are a few excellent places you can go and research more widely about this. One that we were looking at was the Mayo Clinic, and have excellent quality health information. Mm. And they have quite a lot of information around, you know, how you might react to stress and kind of things to think about. So I think understanding yourself broadly is a really good idea for any of us. But just to think about when I'm at work, when I'm dealing with an issue, how am I handling it? When a difficult situation or a stressful situation happens, what sort of reactions am I having? I think it's healthy for us to recognize that we are going to have a reaction to stress, that it's normal, it's human to have a reaction, but it's more about what the harmful reactions might be.
Mm.
So some of the things are listed here around pain and overeating, anger, crying, depression, negativity, or maybe becoming dependent on something. So I think that's a really good place for us to start in terms of thinking about how are we reacting to stress.
I looked at this list and yeah, I was a bit shocked that I've experienced each of these symptoms in my life. So we've got pain, that you may unconsciously clench your jaws or fists, and then you get a muscle tension. And I definitely have that. And it was so bad at one point that it went down from my jaw into my arms, and I couldn't move my right arm anymore. Then overeating. I'm really good with overeating. So I remember eating many, many hot dogs. Oh no, it wasn't hot dogs. It was hamburgers and stuff, fast food. When I was really stressed out, and then I gained weight, and then I felt even worse. Anger is another symptom I've experienced before. And I've even had depression in the past when I felt very lonely and isolated and started smoking. I'm not a smoker. So I just, I think, do you want to share like the symptoms that you've experienced when you were stressed?
Yeah. Yeah, I think similarly, I think I've probably, you know, experienced all of those to some degree. Certainly overeating. So I've got a really sweet tooth, and that's like my go-to thing would just be to binge. I think negativity is quite an obvious one. Mm-hmm. What I'm aware of, you know, what I can know about myself is when I'm well and when I'm coping with things and I feel good about myself, that situations where you might be negative at other times, you're not. So maybe that's somebody who at work who generally does cause you stress or you find difficult to handle. When you're well, actually you don't have the same problem. It's almost like you're able to kind of rise above it. There's like a physical thing for me that happens where I'm almost like I'm smiling, like I'm able to sort of take whatever it is that they're doing and sort of rise above it. And I'm able to think clearly, I guess, about what they're actually saying versus how they're making me feel. Whereas when you're not in a good place, you find it difficult to move past the sort of instinctive, emotive reactions to situations. So maybe if someone's being difficult or they're maybe not listening to you properly, you know, you can respond quite negatively to those things. So that's quite a good indicator for me, is how I'm able to handle those situations. So I'm more aware, I guess, of where I'm at. And if I know that if I'm really being self-aware and I'm aware that I'm being negative, then I'm sort of aware of these triggers, then I'm able to give myself some pointers, which I've sort of thought about, which is, you know, take yourself out of the situation, think about something really nice. I've had some good tips from people around that, but the tips were around sort of owning your own space, thinking about something that makes you really happy, which for me is like my youngest daughter, who's just kind of at that age where everything's just super cute and super hilarious. So, you know, thinking about her in those situations allows me to kind of put a smile back on my face and kind of get out of the situation that I'm in. But yeah, I would say that I've probably ticked all of those symptoms at one time or another.
Mm. Serena, can you remember any situations where you had one of these symptoms?
Yeah, I was just nodding along with quite a lot of what has been said, because I have had similar reactions, pretty much all of the list as well, at different times. I think a fair amount of this can be psychosomatic, so when you get pain or when you get illnesses, for example. We've been talking about well-being in this organization recently at Alzheimer's Society, and one thing that people were explaining were that stress, anxiety, depression can actually impact on physical health. And when somebody maybe is signed off with a cold or they've got a persistent illness that can't go, it can be a sign of a weakened immune system, which can actually be caused by the stress, anxiety or depression. So actually these things can kind of impact on each other. And I think I've had periods of back pain in the past. It's a persistent issue, keeps coming back. And there's a fair amount of research that indicates that back pain could be psychological. Mm-hmm. So it's really interesting that the way you carry yourself or what you're dealing with, you know, has some sort of kind of a physical impact. And I think, generally around eating and, you know, you're trying to compensate in some way in terms of energy or in terms of kind of mood. And of course, you might be kind of reaching for things that seem to have like a short term impact, but actually kind of in the long term, that's definitely been the case for me and with fried potato products.
Oh, yeah.
I love a potato. But yeah, and I think generally thinking about the whole area around addiction or habit. And I think times when, I mean, I haven't had too much of that, thankfully, but times where perhaps I thought, am I having one too many glasses of wine, or you know, have I kind of decided that I'm binging Netflix and is this useful behavior? So sometimes I've kind of caught myself doing something and you get that "are you sure" message pop up at Netflix. And it says, "Are you sure you still want to, are you still watching, are you still here" sort of message, and there's me thinking I'm kind of laying on my bed binging something. So
yeah, I think that message appears after you've watched 3 or 5 episodes in a row. And and that's not on the list on this website. I think in the future I can very well imagine that they add that one and say, yeah, binge watching Netflix.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and obviously being online and social media in general. You know, we're all obviously active in that space, and it is important for the work we do and the network that we're part of. And there is a bit of pressure there, you know, to sort of be active. So it's difficult to, you know, to do all of that, but also exercise control, basically, because you kind of want to put the screen down when you're done with work. But actually, we need to do all this networking, and we need to keep in touch with people and that are working in different sectors and things. So I think social and being online and the pressures that brings, as we're all learning about now, and the sort of the way that you project yourself on Instagram or Facebook or Twitter, is adding another layer of complexity to our sense of self.
Yeah. What's also helpful, and that brings me to my next point, is how, like, one thing is to know, okay, I'm stressed, like I'm showing one of these symptoms or many of them. What caused me this stress? So to be aware of what triggers stress for you, because it might be different things. We talked about the different situations that you may find yourself in that might cause you stress. Like in my example, I'm not very good with all the legal topics. So when I receive messages from users who would say something like, I will sue you or threaten me with some legal consequences and start talking in legal terms that I didn't understand, I realized like how my heart rate increased, and I would start to panic, like, oh my God, I don't know what they're talking about, and what if they can sue me, and you know, because I don't know anything about legal stuff. So that's one of the triggers that I have. Yeah, so let's talk about the triggers, that things that might trigger stress, and what people can do to be more self-aware and to recognize those triggers. Serena, do you have something to add to this topic?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's interesting what you were saying, Denise, about kind of what triggers me. Generally, things where I feel out of control or I'm feeling some sort of threat. So if you've got a huge issue happening on your community and you're not able to deal with it as quickly as you'd like to, or you're feeling that you've not got all the resources that you need to deal with it. So on occasion, we might get a reputational issue in this organization, for example, and it's how quickly people get back to you with the information in order for you to then resolve that issue. Or perhaps there's a potential issue that could happen. Maybe there's a particular topic that people might discuss. For example, politics, on which we need to change our moderation position on politics. So I'm currently consulting everybody on what their views are. But that's become quite a stressful issue for us around kind of what can people say around politics and how are we going to moderate it going forward. So hopefully I'll have some answers soon. But there's just that sense of whilst you're in a kind of no man's land and you're not quite sure what the I think for me, that's very stressful.
Yeah, totally understandable. Yeah, Jamie, do you have anything specific that causes you stress or some sort of trigger? It might not even have anything to do with your job. Maybe like in your private life, you also know, okay, if this happens, then I'm completely stressed out.
Yeah, I think so. I'm definitely naturally more of an introvert. Like I'm very social and everything, but I don't, sort of getting into big social situations and all the rest of it isn't like my go-to thing. So I run, you know, the CMX Connect events in Scotland. That's probably one thing that always stresses me out as I go through it. So when I think about it in the round and I take a step back from it and the event isn't soon, then I'm like, yeah, this is something I need to do. It's important. There's loads of good reasons why I should do it. And then after to the event, I can feel the stress levels coming in. And I'm reasonably self-aware. And so there's times as it gets close to the event, and this happened last time, where I can hear myself in my head start to question myself, you know, like, why are you doing it? Like, it's going to be a nightmare. Nobody's going to come, or the people that do come are going to think it's a waste of time, you know, and you're suddenly just giving yourself all these reasons why you shouldn't do it or why it's going to be a disaster.
Yeah.
So that's quite an obvious trigger for me. And I guess the events, I'm doing that myself. So there's quite a lot of pressure on doing everything and making it work. And then at work in the day to day, yeah, it'd probably be a similar situation where maybe you've organized something, and actually it's something you do all the time. That just could be a big meeting or a workshop or something like that. Mm. And again, you do it without thinking in terms of, yeah, we need to do that, and I know why we're doing it. And then actually when it comes to the day and, you know, people are going to be arriving soon, suddenly the stress levels go through where you say the same things. You're like, oh, why am I doing this? Maybe we should just skip it, you know, and sort of any excuse to avoid it. So that's definitely an obvious one for me. I guess I've done it enough now that I can recognize those triggers. Like I've caught myself, you know, talking myself down, and then I'm like, oh, hang on, it'll be okay, you know. And I know we'll get on to sort of how can you cope and deal with it. But that's definitely a big trigger for me.
Yeah, that's a really good example. I know how you feel. So, then let's move on to something more pleasant and look at what can we do when we feel stressed out. Serena, you have collected some advice, and you've also done at the CMX Summit last year, you've done the Birds of a Feather table talking about self-care. So I think you might be an expert in this field. So, yeah, let us hear what are the strategies that you suggest.
Thanks, Denise. Yeah, it was a real pleasure actually to be able to facilitate when you're a community manager, kind of when you're dealing with challenges and more broadly, you know, when you're running an online space. We had quite a varied table of people who were just chatting about their experiences of being a community manager and all the different pressures. And we were broadly talking about things that we found helpful. I think the first thing for any of us to recognize is the fact that what might work for one person might not work for you. So that idea of finding the things that work for you, there's quite a lot of freedom, I think, when you're looking at how you can kind of manage your own mental health and how you can manage your own well-being. Mm. I think seeing well-being as an ongoing process is really important. So actually it's not something that you just kind of have a go at for a week and then you put back down. It's actually an ongoing process. Whatever job you're in, I think, but especially in the sort of job when you're supporting people. So yeah, so I have a blog, it's called Good Community. It's mainly focused on community management for nonprofits, but there's a fair amount in there I think is broadly quite useful. So I think it tends to come down to things around kind of boundaries. So we talked a little bit earlier around kind of boundaries in terms of time, in terms of, you know, what sort of support, what sort of work you're doing, how you deal with it, kind of generally kind of how you're handling things. And then there's a fair amount around kind of balance. So just thinking about what you're like, what your life is looking like in terms of how much time are you spending in work or doing things that are quite stressful and demanding, and how much time are you doing spending in terms of kind of things that are more about you or your personal interests or things that keep you well, things that keep you positive, things that energize you. So I think that balance for me is really important.
Yeah, absolutely. Jamie, you've talked about thinking about your daughter or telling yourself, oh, you know, when you tend to slip into this negative talk, you recognize that you're doing it and then you tell yourself it's going to be okay. Are there any other tactics that you have that help you deal with stress or maybe even prevent you from being stressed?
Yeah, I think there's a broad one, which is, you know, keeping a sense of perspective. I've been lucky to move around quite, or you can call it lucky or not. I mean, but I've moved around a lot, worked in lots of different places. I'm obviously a bit older than I used to be. And I've, you know, I see people go through stress at work, and Serena mentioned it, I think it's a feeling of lack of control. So that might be quite a broad feeling where, you know, you're part of a department or you're part of an organization where you think you don't buy into it, you don't feel it's going in the right direction, or perhaps you don't have a great relationship with your manager and you feel excluded. And I think when there's that feeling or general feeling of lack of control or lack of motivation, then stress kind of comes off the back of that. So I think it's really important that people are able to keep a sense of overall perspective on their job, their tasks, their remit, and then work in general. And obviously work should be one portion of your overall life. We spend obviously most of our time at work. That's the way it is in this country, certainly. You know, you're spending an inordinate amount of time with your work colleagues and at your job compared to perhaps the amount of time you spend at home or out or with your family. So I think a sense of perspective, and that can be gained, I think, by having things that you do out of work. They're really important. And some of this sounds quite basic, but, you know, hobbies, goals and objectives that you've got away from work so that work isn't all consuming. Mm. And I know that we're all involved in CMX Connect, you know, and running events in our locales. And that's really an important one because it gives you something else. It is related to your work and it can certainly help, but it gives you something else to work on and plan for and do, which is away from work. So I think that's like a big broad one, being able to have that perspective and have something else so that work isn't all consuming and doesn't completely eat you up. Yeah, I think it's really good to have some exercise. So for me personally, if I'm not exercising, then I don't sleep as well. It has quite a big knock on. And as I think for exercise, that's personal. So it's not necessarily running a marathon. That can just be a walk, you know, as basic as that. But something that gets you up, gets you moving and gets you outside. And exercise for me is being outside. So it's not necessarily sitting on a bike machine in a garage. For me, it is about being outside. And I think like spending some amount of time with no music, no screens, no headphones, where you are actually moving through the world outside, whether that's, you know, in the woods or in the city, I think like just your senses kind of being open and your thoughts able to kind of move through, because basically you need some time, I think, to process. So I get that from exercise. My New Year's resolution was to look after my back and things much better. So I am very active, but I never really stretch that well, or I don't do it in a very concerted way. So I've started a yoga class, which typical middle-aged fashion, but I've been a few times and I have to say, like, I'm already noticing a massive difference. And even just that amount of times, there's a bit of meditation to it. You know, it's important that you clear your mind while you're doing it. So yeah, I think those things are certainly for me personally have a big effect on how I cope.
Yeah, that's cool. That brings me to our last talking point, what you can do to prevent yourself from being stressed. Because I do yoga and meditation. I do go outside when I notice that I can't focus because this stresses me out. Another thing I do is when there's like a big task and I can't see the end of it and it's so much to do and I don't even know where to start and then I feel paralyzed. Then I cut it down into smaller chunks and put it in the time frame, like the objectives and key results method, I think works really well for community management tasks. So I'm doing that. And these are the three things that help me when I am stressed and also help me prevent me from being stressed, like cutting down the big tasks and organize my work, doing meditation every morning to calm down your mind, and also do some exercise, go outside and change your focus from focusing on the screen in front of you or on your task to not focusing and just taking it all in. And that, in my experience, calms down your mind a lot. Serena, do you have any more suggestions for stress prevention methods?
Yes, there are a couple of things that work really well for me. I really loved hearing what you guys are doing. I think that whole area around your body and thinking about your physical space and your physical environment is really important. I think for me, the three things that I find really helpful the first thing is to talk about it, to talk about how I'm feeling, or to talk about situations being difficult, challenging, getting some support, whether that's from a coach. We have a clinical counsellor at work because of the nature of what I do. I have to kind of speak to a clinical counsellor about the issues that come up in the work. And that's really important, just to talk. And it could just be a friend who's a great listener. I think the second thing is to laugh. For me, the nature of my work, it can be quite heavy, can be quite difficult. So I don't tend to want to get in and watch a documentary about, you know, some war. I tend to kind of want to get in and watch something or do something that's positive. So I really love comedy, particularly stand-up comedy. So I find laughing really helpful. And the third thing I think for me is eating better. So just cooking more. I think cooking fresh food and enjoying fresh food, for me, I just find that really positive and something that's really enjoyable. Once you put the time into it, I think that's been really enjoyable for me.
Oh, love it. Thanks for all the tips. I will do a quick summary of what we talked about, which was, what are the main reasons for stress for community professionals? And there was, for example, the conflict of interests between managing the people in the community and managing the interests of the organization that you're working for. That puts a lot of pressure on you. Being isolated, if you're not in a team, if you're the only community professional in your workplace. Also moderating conflict in your community, and also the variety of tasks that you have to do. So time management. And work-life balance, not being able to unplug from your work and still being online on Twitter, Instagram, whatever, after you've left the office. Yeah, that are the reasons for stress. And what are the consequences of being stressed? There are some economic consequences. If an employee is stressed out and not working their best, this can have consequences. Like if you're saying something that, you know, it's written down in the forums, everyone can read it. That has real consequences, but also the physical and emotional consequences we were talking about, overeating, muscle tension, negativity, stuff like that. And if stress is going on for too long, you might get burned out and really have to take time off work and relax. And then we talked about what we can do about it. And these were some really lovely pieces of advice. And for our summary, I'd like each of you to share your three pieces of advice. What should you do when you're feeling stressed or to prevent being stressed?
For me, broadly, looking at all of the work that we all do, I think we kind of areas you could kind of group things. So one is about how you do your work. For me, it's about kind of the frameworks and the systems and the processes you have that help you to do your work in a way where you're able to handle the challenges that are coming your way. So trying to plan and having a sense of knowing what you do if an issue happened. Mm-hmm. I think that can help limit the the second area, I think, for me is around reflection. Kind of what sort of things you're doing to just reflect and to kind of think about yourself and how you're handling things. And the third area for me is about recharging, what you're doing to kind of recharge your energies outside of work, and to make sure you keep that balance.
Great advice. Jamie, what are your three pieces of advice?
So I would definitely say this one around perspective. So having multiple things, you know, that you're doing and that are important to you, so that your eggs aren't all in one proverbial basket. So that if work is stressful for one reason or another, because it will happen, that you have other things to fall back on. So I think that's important. So a hobby, something else that you're aiming to improve or do, that's a big one for me. The exercise, the outside engagement with the world. So getting up away from your desk and not being worried about doing that. I think the UK culture, you know, can be that, you know, you need to be seen, you need to be at work, and you need to be sitting looking busy. I think that's changing a little bit. And I think people recognize that actually getting up, going away, doing something else, going for a walk are all really important. So yes, getting away from the screen and spending time exercising is a big one. And then I think, and I've done some mental health first aid training, and one of the big things that they talk about when you're trying to support somebody is trying to gain a sense of what their network is and what relationships they have, because that's going to be really important for them in managing and dealing with the issues that they're facing. So what is your network? You know, what relationships do you have within your family? What are they like with your friends, with your colleagues? And thinking about those in a kind of a structured way. I think some people, you know, sort of err away from planning and feel like you sort of take the fun out of life. Whereas I think there's plenty of evidence to suggest that you need to be organized, and actually your relationships is one other thing that you need to be organized about. And they need to be maintained. So are you making time for your family? Are you making time for your friends that you don't see as often? Mm. And including those in your work-life balance, so that when you are stressed, there are people out there that will support you and will recognize that you're in that situation as well. So I actually experienced that just last night, where a friend of mine got in touch and said, "Oh, I realized that I hadn't spoken to you for a couple of weeks and that you were quite quiet." So they picked up on something. And so, yeah, that only happened because he knows me and knows what normal is.
So I don't think I can add anything to your pieces of advice. The only thing I might add is know when to quit, because in the end, that thing that stresses you out as a community manager is your job, and it might not be the right job at the right company. And then you shouldn't sacrifice your well-being for a job and think about doing something else or doing nothing, and just take time off. Of course, it's not possible for everyone. You need to have a support network that enables you to do that. But you can work towards it if you don't have it, and save a little bit here and there. You have some sort of perspective that it doesn't have to be like that forever. Okay. So we are coming to the end of our talk, Community Manager Advancement Day. That's happening on January 27th. And in fact, there's a lot of things happening around the topic of self-care. What are you guys going to do? Do you have any recommended events, or are you going to plug off and not do anything on that day? Serena, what about you?
So we've got not one, but two events happening in London on Monday, the 27th of January. So at 1 p.m. we have an event with NHS Good Thinking. That's a team within the National Health Service, supported by the Mayor of London and supported by NHS England, I believe. And that's a roundtable discussion around mental health, self-care and well-being. And there'll be group discussions and a number of talks, and I'm one of the speakers at that event, and that's in London at 1 o'clock. And then later on that day in London at 5:30, the CMX London event is going to kick off. And that's me, Michelle Sims and Nancy Kinder. And we are in partnership with NHS Good Thinking. And we're running a masterclass on self-care. Wow. So Good Thinking are going to give an overview on the impact around mental health, self-care and well-being for community managers. We're going to have group discussion, and we're going to create a self-care master list.
Wow.
And have a chance to kind of connect with each other, share our advice, and kind of create your own kind of personalized toolkit. So it'll be a really good takeaway for everybody who comes along.
Yeah, that sounds great. So if any of the people listening are in London on that day, you should definitely check it out. Yeah, so Jamie, what are you doing on January 27th?
Yeah, we're having a Connect, CMX Connect event as well. We'll be in Glasgow. We're actually going to use our Tesco Bank offices in Glasgow in City Centre, and also focused on CMAD and on self-care. We will be looking at some of the great talks that happened at CMX Summit in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
Actually made it a point of mine. You know, I think we hear lots about strategy and community strategy and hints and tips on how to improve engagement and all these sorts of things. When I was at Summit this year, I really did actually focus more on sort of care and how to sort of get the most out of yourself. So I did go to all those talks and found them really good. So what I'm going to try and do is is maybe watch a few clips. So we won't watch the entire talks, but we'll look at some of those clips from those talks, and we'll have our usual meetup and discuss the topic. Be great to hear what comes out of the London event. Yeah, we'll review some of the, there's loads of great material out there already that people have created. So really we're gonna sift through some of those, talk about our personal experiences, and likewise hopefully allow people to leave with some important tools and ways of thinking about looking after themselves.
Very cool. I'm actually going to unplug on that day and spend it walking in the park and looking at the birds and thinking about you guys doing amazing events.
Well, that'd be nice too. I would, of course, because of my anxiety levels, I'll be wanting to do that as I get closer to the 27th anyway.
I send you some good vibes.
Good, thank you.
Okay, thank you so much for taking your time to speak about this important but neglected topic. And I will share the links to the websites that were mentioned in the show notes. And I wish you all a very healthy year 2020 and a lot of success for your events on January 27th.
Thanks, Denise. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you. All the best to you.
Thank you for listening to this episode. Follow us on Instagram at @let's_talk_community to never miss a new episode and to join the discussion. What are your experiences around stress and self-care? We look forward to hearing from you.